friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. Happy New Year, my friend.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well and to our audience. 2018 was a great year. Looks like 2019 is going to be another great year in the future, right?
I think we had a great year of futuring in 2018, and we're going to have a great year of futuring in 2019. So we thought we would do, as we often do around the turn of the year, is this show. We'll take a look back and see all the great futuristic things that happened in 2018. Not all of them. We'll pick a select few. And then next show, we'll do our predictions for the big future things that will happen in 2019, kind of a rounding out the year kind of a thing. If we'd gotten all over it, we would have done one show on New Year's Eve and the other one on New Year's Day. But this is close enough. I think we're doing it close enough to that. So,
All right. It's good stuff. Well, whenever you hear this, it's going to be good.
That's right. If you're listening in April of 2023, you're still going to hear some great stuff. So just hang in with us. This is good stuff. All right. So I wanted to talk about the year in review, and I started looking back over things that had happened. And here's an interesting thing that happened, is I found this story, and it's over on a site called Quartz, and it was the 99 best things that happened in 2018. And a lot of them are kind of social change type stuff that we don't spend an awful lot of time on, but, you know, good stuff. But some of them were very technological kinds of things. And what I liked about it was it's a list of 99 things, which we did a book with 99 ideas about how to make the world a better place. So that number always works great for me anyway. But I just looked at it and I said, I am familiar with very few of these items. You know?
Yeah, even with us doing our very best throughout the year to keep up with good news stories like this, a lot of this we don't hear because, well, just standard news doesn't cover this stuff. It just doesn't. And
they're too busy with being outraged and politics and all the junk. And they don't have time. They just don't have time. And they're not looking for these stories, I think, is the other problem.
Yeah, this is sort of the opposite of it bleeds. You know, this is not it bleeds at all. This is the opposite. So
if it improves, it loses. Right.
Yeah, it goes to the back page if it's in the paper at all.
If it gets better, we forget her. There.
You know, maybe it gets a brief mention in a Sunday lifestyle page or something of the New York Times or something.
And who reads those? I can tell you I don't. So I'm not seeing that stuff. And I think probably these.
I'm going to outline real quick for our audience. Basically, the story divides up in, again, 99 things. The first 18 of them are environmental improvements.
Yep.
And some really awesome environmental stuff like the Belize Barrier Reef, no longer endangered. Various species are doing great now. China decides it's going to outlaw ivory trade within China, and all of a sudden now poaching in Africa is way, way down for elephants. That's awesome. You know.
It's just one great thing after another.
It will improve your mood just reading this, I promise you.
And then I found five of them that I thought, well, had I known, we would have done shows that had these in them.
For sure.
A lot of these probably would have been worthy of a mention, but these five in particular, I said, you know what, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time, and this is new to me.
Yeah.
And let me just share a couple of these with you.
Okay, so don't know.
Number 49 on the list of 99 was, according to the UNDP, 271 million people in India moved out of poverty since 2015, and the country's poverty rate has been cut nearly in half. Okay, what's great about that is, we talk about this huge uplift of people out of poverty that occurred from the mid-90s to the year 2015, and it happened primarily in China, although also in Africa and a few other places, probably in India as well. And now, here's the first figure I've seen since the year 2015, and you got another 250 million people coming out of poverty in another place, right, in a place that wasn't even in one of the places that was primarily being mentioned when we talked about it before. So it's like wonderful update on the fact that people are still moving out of poverty at a really rapid rate.
Story number 47 out of 99, Phil, I think, is the story of the decade. I'm not even the story of the year. It should be the story of the year. It should be like on the cover of every news magazine. Everybody should be talking about this quietly and unannounced. Humanity crossed a truly amazing threshold this year for the first time since agriculture-based civilization began 10,000 years ago. The majority of humankind is no longer poor or vulnerable to falling into poverty.
Yeah, that is the story of
that
all time.
Happened in 2018.
Yeah. Now, we did talk about that. We did cover that, so I feel like,
yes,
you know.
But I just, it bears repeating.
It bears repeating. You could do a show on that every day. That's the thing. We should get up every morning and say, hey, I'm glad I live in this world where this is happening, right? What an awesome thing to be living in the world where this is taking place. Absolutely. That is the biggest thing ever. You know what Gandhi said, and I think there's a lot to that, is he said that poverty is the ultimate form of violence, right? Because it's the violence that never stops, right? It's the constant degradation of life in any way it can be degraded, right? From your health to your nutrition to your personal safety to just everything, right? You're constantly at risk all the time, and your life is constantly compromised because you're poor, especially when you're really desperately poor, like people are in the developing world, like people who have been lifted out of over the past, now we're looking at 25, 30 years, we've seen this kind of progress. And yeah, it's amazing. It's a great story for 2018. I hope it continues into 2019. Certainly no reason to think that it won't. And anyway, the fact that 271 million people in India moved out of poverty is a really good
amazing
sign.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, and a lot of people get to worry, and they think, well, with so many people moving out of poverty, then there's going to be more pollution, we're going to destroy our planet, right? Wrong. It tends to go the other way. When people can afford to watch out for their environment, they do so. And there's a whole group of stories in this 99 towards the end of the list that deals with, it seems like our economy is being retooled in such a way that we're not costing ourselves the planet as our economy continues to improve worldwide.
It actually seems that the more well-off we get, the cleaner we live. The two somehow go hand in hand, which is wonderful. So I'll come back to this list. I've got a couple more I'm going to pull from it. Well, let me while we're on economics, there was another one just specific to the U.S. The share of black men in poverty in the United States fell from 41% in 1960 to 18% today, and their share of the middle class rose from 38% to 57% in the same time. Now, you would never guess that we were having any kind of progress along those lines, but it's happening,
you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And of course, there's always room for improvement. We're not trying to suggest that our country or ourselves or the world should rest on its laurels. You know, we continue to march onward and upward, but there's reasons not to be discouraged. And it seems like there's a lot of discouragement. And I'll
come back to that. I will come back to that one. But here, give me a few of yours. You've got some too. I don't want to spend the whole time on that list of 99. What else we got?
I wanted to get in a little bit into some of these space stories. Everyday Astronaut is a guy, is a YouTube guy that covers space news and everything, and love that guy and love his channel, and I encourage our listeners to check him out too.
Check out Everyday Astronaut. Yep.
He did his Astro Awards, you know, best stuff in 2018. I mean, turns out that 2018 is this huge, huge year for space. Just going to kind of go through his list here. Voyager 2 reaches interstellar space. Now, Voyager 1's already did this back a few years ago, but it's pretty much defunct. It's still somewhat operational, but not too many of its sensors are working properly, and it can't send back much data. Voyager 2 is alive and well in most respects. Sending back some really fascinating data. It hits this line where all of a sudden cosmic radiation just shoots way up, and the solar wind just goes shoots way down at the same time. So they have a pretty good idea of where the line is, right at the edge of the solar system. So that was pretty cool. And so the Soyuz abort that took place in 2018. That's basically it was the Russians' Apollo 13. A successful failure in a way, because they got their people home safely when it could have been very tragic.
Soyuz launch was aborted somewhere after the initial stage. Is that right? It was.
That's right. They were on the edge of space. The Soyuz has four boosters attached to the central section, and three of them deployed the way they're supposed to. One went sliding down and basically ruptured the rocket. It could have been catastrophic where it just exploded, and then, you know, but they were able to abort and get away from it and get their people on safe. That's kind of a neat thing. They launched again remarkably quickly. They You know, their return to flight with the Soyuz was quick and kind of neat. I thought that was pretty awesome. Virgin Galactic had a huge year. They launched, and I believe those guys are getting ready to take passengers, and that would be a prediction that I'll mention in the next show we have.
All right, very good.
What those guys
Virgin
are doing
Galactic
here.
On its way
yep.
to making predictions come true.
And that's right. We have. Of course, OSIRIS-REx reached its asteroid, and they're gonna bring a sample home.
Yep.
And that's cool. And they're already returning data. It appears that this particular asteroid, at some point in the distant past, was exposed to water. It seems, and that's pretty interesting. Maybe it originates from a planet that had water. And then a Japanese probe is doing much the same. It's intercepted its asteroid, and it's got rovers. It's deploying rovers to the surface of its asteroid, and the rovers are kind of neat because they shift their weight in order to hop across the asteroid. It's got such low gravity that just shifting a little weight inside of itself, it makes it hop like a jumping bean. They're getting some neat data back. So that
video of the Hayabusa landing on its asteroid was one of the coolest things ever. That was, what was that, in October,
it's
I think?
Awesome
September,
stuff.
October, somewhere in there. That was just one of the coolest things ever. And, you know, that was a follow-up. It was the Hayabusa 1 was the first time anything had ever been retrieved from an asteroid, and that was just a little bit of dust that they got. Now we've got, as you mentioned, we've got OSIRIS-REx. Now we've got Hayabusa 2. We're landing on asteroids. We're landing rovers on asteroids. And it's all happening really fast, isn't it? The progress towards...
it's coming together.
Yeah.
Neat stuff. Then we got Kepler's replacement. See, Kepler retired this year. And so the everyday astronaut, he mentioned the passing of some great people, including Stephen Hawking.
Mm-hmm.
And he also mentioned the passing of some important programs like Kepler. Well, it turns out we got a replacement, and it's the TESS Observatory. TESS stands for Transitioning Exoplanet Survey Satellite. It's an exponential improvement on Kepler because it surveys the entire sky, or large sections of the sky simultaneously, and as it rotates, it'll end up surveying, you know, in every direction. And statistically speaking, they expect this thing in its service life to discover 20,000 exoplanets. It's already up there. It's discovered a super Earth already, discovered a comet that we didn't know about. And so the amount of data that thing is going to return in its service life is expected to be huge. It's a big deal.
You know, it's wild. I know that the next show is really the prediction show, but this isn't a 2019 prediction. This is just a TESS prediction. This is going to explode the number of anomalies that suggest we may have found intelligent life in the universe, okay? And I don't know what they'll be, but just in the same way that we've found planets that look like the swarm or
the Dyson swarm
out there, stuff like that. We're going to be finding a lot more of that kind of stuff.
We're bound to find some weird stuff. When we look in every direction simultaneously, there's going to be some weird stuff, too. And,
yeah, you know how we have the cure for cancer of the week? I think we're going to have the aliens of the month. I think that's what's going to that's what's going to happen with TESS, I predict.
It's the Christmas gift that keeps on giving all year long.
It's going to give all year long. That's right. That it is, Edward.
Yes. All righty. So then of course, the Indian Space Agency has made huge strides towards manned flight. They're going to be, Phil, in the near future, the fourth country to become a space power. In the sense that they'll have put people in space themselves. They're moving forward with that. They're making remarkable strides. They've done orbital flight, unmanned orbital flight now, and so it's just a matter of time. Then we got Rocket Lab. These are the little rockets that they're putting up small satellites. They're 3D printed rocket motors. I mean, these guys are doing it in a remarkable way. And they've done orbital flight this year. They've had their first successful commercial launch. And they're making so many rockets, Phil, and they've got this new rocket factory that's just churning them out. It would appear that they're set to make very frequent launches going forward, monthly, maybe every couple of weeks, by the end of 2019.
Very cool.
It's cool stuff there. Okay, then the Parker Solar Probe mission to the sun. Man, I mean, touching the corona. That happened in 2018. Now, the corona is actually hotter than the surface of the sun.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, we put a probe there. That's remarkable. And sending back data. So that's just amazing. And
you know how they were able to do that? They went at night. So it's
thank you, Phil.
I'm kidding.
I love it. That's how they did it. That's smart of them. It really
is. No, it's a, you know, it's not as big a deal at night. It's my understanding. I don't know as much about the sun, but that's my understanding.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Then we got SpaceX, their Block 5 debut. And they, you know, one of their boosters that they sent up was, it was a third time flight for that particular booster. Ultimately, what they want to do is get these boosters built where they can launch 10 times without any refurbishment. And then with refurbishment every 10th time, make it to 100 launches before they have to actually retire these boosters.
All right.
with that kind of reusability, our ticket to space gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And so congratulations, SpaceX, on a huge year. We'll get back to them in just a second. But NASA did their home run mission to Mars. It's the first time in about a decade that any successful landings have been made on Mars. And InSight is sending back some remarkable pictures. And
really
data.
Cool images coming back from Mars. Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome. And so, cool stuff there. And then, of course, the thing that took the cake for our everyday astronaut is the SpaceX Heavy launch, the simultaneous retrieval of those two boosters and everything. It was that was exciting. And
that was exciting, exciting stuff. Yeah,
that was fun. And you know, he said it was sort of an Apollo moment in the sense that kids were actually gathered around watching the TV. As
right.
This happened, this is the sort of thing that inspires people to become engineers and to, you know, we need that. And so that's
it was very
was cool.
It was a thing. I showed the video to my kids. We sat around dinner talking about it multiple nights at dinner.
Right.
This was like all we talked about was where's the spaceman car now? Right. I mean, it was just very cool. Yeah.
So that's the year in space. 2019 is looking pretty awesome too, and I will get into that in the next show.
I like that, Stephen. That although we did talk about some of those, that's a great summary, and we didn't talk nearly as much about all that stuff going on in space as we should have. I know we did talk a little bit of SpaceX, but some of this stuff never got mentioned at all. It's cool that we have this wrap up, and we actually bring up all these new things in the wrap up. We bring up a bunch of new stories because you know what? There's just too much good news in a year for us to cover it all. That's why I'm going to close with this one, and I just think this is awesome. This was number 58 on the list of 99, going back to the earlier story that I mentioned. A new global youth survey showed that young people in all countries are more optimistic than adults. Yay. 9 in 10 teenagers in Kenya, Mexico, China, Nigeria, and India reported feeling positive about their future. I hope that we can see numbers like that in the U.S. and Europe and in Asia as well. China obviously is part of Asia, but I'm thinking Japan and some of the other parts of Asia. We really want to see young people. That's the right attitude to have, and I'm glad that the kids in the countries that they surveyed have that attitude, and I can't help but feel that we've played our part. Right, we've certainly done all we can anyway.
And again, it's just that we need to be looking for the good news because, for whatever reason, we are not fed the good news with standard news reports. We're just not. So you got to go looking for it, but it's there if you care about it.
It's there if you look. And one more thing, I got three favorite shows we did. One was our 800th show on the subject of outrageous optimism. That's a topic we're going to be talking about more in 2019. Just a very fun show we did called Yanni Laurel and the Mandela Effect. Just awesome, fun stuff. And we did a three-part series with our good friend, futurist Thomas Fry, called Who Wants to Live Forever, talking about life extension. So I'm providing links to all three of those. Those are my favorite shows of the year. Stephen, did you have another favorite that you wanted to throw in?
I just want to throw in my agreement on those. Those are some fun shows. But, just go back and play them. They're awesome.
I almost did the one where we got all huffy and said, no, Star Trek is not too Star Trek-y. But I decided, no, we'll do the Mandela effect. They're all worth another listen, though, folks. So go back and give it a listen. But, hey, that's going to do it for our 2018 wrap-up. Stephen, great talking with you. Great having you all with us. We are going to be back next time with our predictions for 2019. And until next time, live to see it.